This morning, we're actually going to talk about that word, benediction. I don't know about for you, but how many of you this morning, if I were to ask you, need a good word from God this morning? If I were to ask you that, how many of you would raise their hand? That is what a benediction is. It is God's good word to us. This morning, we are going to begin in the Old Testament with probably the most well-known benediction, good word from God. And to understand how that word in the Old Testament, or benediction in the Old Testament, helps shape our understanding of the New Testament. When you look to the New Testament, you need to understand the Old Testament to be able to interpret what God is saying. Just like we began our service this morning, grace, mercy, and peace, or may grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. There are a lot of those when Paul begins his letters to the church. Now, here in the Old Testament, Israel is getting ready to leave the tabernacle. They were getting ready to go on a long and a dangerous journey. A whole generation was going to die in the desert. They were going to be assaulted by their enemies. They would be hungry and they would be thirsty. There would be division and dissension within the ranks. And before they leave worship, before they get ready to make their way towards the promised land, God has a good word for them. God's good word was, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go behind you. I am going to go with you as you make your way towards the promised land, the land that I have already promised that you're going to receive. And they needed that benediction. Because if you read through the rest of the story of the book of Numbers, and I hope you can do that this afternoon, you will realize that over and over and over again, Israel doubts God. They doubted that God was going to bless them, that God was going to do what he said in his word he was going to do. But if they understood that the God was going to go with them, that he was going to lead them, that he was going to guide them, that he was going to get them to the promised land, if they actually believed that, how the story of the people of Israel could have been different. And so they leave worship. And the priest raises his hand, and we're going to read the scripture. If we can get it on the screen. Let's say this together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. How could our story be different? How could our story be different if we actually believed that God would do in our lives what he said he is going to do? Have you ever really thought about the promises of God? And how often we, like Israel, run? God says that his desire is to lead us, to guide us, to provide for all of our needs. And how often are we like Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, who chase after everything and end up having to say, it is meaningless, it is meaningless, it is a chasing after the wind. Or God says, trust me, follow me, give me everything you are, and I will bless you. I think of the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, where he asked Jesus, what is it going to take to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, get rid of it all and follow me. And he simply says, I just can't do that. And I think of the story of Israel. It's the end of worship. The offering for sin has been made. The burnt offering has made, and the fellowship offering has been made. Everything that needed to be done in order for that their relationship with God to be taken care of. But it would need to be done over and over and over again, because the sacrifice of an animal could never really atone for their sin. Now make your way to the New Testament, and you begin to see that Jesus Christ becomes the high priest. He becomes the offering. He becomes a mediator between us and God. And he offers his life on the cross for you and I, that you and I might receive grace, that our relationship with God might be restored, that we may be reminded absolutely that God will always be with us. Because if he was willing to die, would he not take care of every other need, not want, but need in our lives? This blessing, which we're going to get to in a second, helps us understand the story of God. Picture for a moment a king. A king who is sitting on his throne. And the door bursts open, and you just don't do that. And two young boys come running in. The guards grab their swords and they stick them out, ready to protect the king. But the king graciously raises his hands. One boy is dressed nice like I am. The other boy is covered in mud. The one boy who is nice and clean cuddles up to the king. And he says, "Daddy, my friend is hurt. And he needs help. And I told him that you would help." The king grabs his son, and the king grabs this muddy child, and doesn't care that he is dirty. And he simply says to the young boy who was dirty, "Any friend of my son is a friend of mine. How can I help?" What we have before we can understand our passage is to understand the rest of Scripture. For what God does for you and I, it says in the book of Ephesians that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not a gift of works. It is a gift of grace. Why? Because God so loved the world that he sent his only son into the world that whoever would believe would have eternal life. Understand, like Israel would need to discover, how valuable you are to God. If I had a mirror, I wish I did, I would want to face it back to you, and it would need to be big enough to cover the whole stage, because God says this to you this morning, that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you belong to God, that you are a new creation, that you are forgiven, that you are a representation of the King. What an encouragement for the rest of the journey of life. Because we're going to leave the worship service as Israel left the tabernacle. And we need to hear that good word, that benediction from God, where he says, "May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you." Because some of us are going to leave this place. And tomorrow, we're going to go to work. And it's more a thorn in our flesh than a delight. Others of us are walking in relationships where our heart is being continually torn apart. Others of us are walking through major health crises that just seem to lag on and lag on. Some of us are in the bah humbug of life. And it seems that though there's more potholes than there is smooth surfaces. Some of us are living in fear of what might be. And we wonder where God is in all of this. Let me ask you the question, and I hope you'll write it down, and I hope that you'll think about it during the week. Where are the moments this week where you have seen the blessing of God on your life? Because Israel needed to hear that. Israel needed to see that. Remember, they were just going to leave the tabernacle. There was going to be dissension, division. A generation was going to die. There were going to be enemies that seemed insurmountable. And yet God was there. With food, manna, right? Water from the rock. Protection from the enemies. In fact, he often said, "You have too many men. You need less men to win this battle." He would give them shelter. He would give them the promised land. And so too in the blessing of your life, God not only provides grace, but he provides food and shelter and clothing and friends. And he provides the church. And he gives you himself in the midst of the journey that you are going through this morning. And he longs to bless you. Ultimately, Israel would see the promised land. You and I will see not only eternity, but the new heaven and the new earth. Israel would see a nation to become God's own people, who, and Peter says, is a royal priesthood, as are we, a holy nation, a people belonging to God that we call the church. The words that he begins with in this benediction are huge. May the Lord, God's initiative, bless you and keep you. If you've never heard it before, what it's saying is that God desires you, that God wants a relationship with you, that he makes himself available to you, and that he enjoys you. Have you ever thought about how that revolutionizes everything? So God blesses us. And as he blesses us, he invites us to bless others. So how can you bless others? Well, I think you and I can bless other people by investing in their lives, to making time for other people. Here's a huge one. Get to know somebody's name. Amazing what happens when you meet somebody that you don't see all the time and you actually know their name. Encourage people when you see them having and using gifts. It is amazing how many people in life have never been told that they're good at anything. Talk. Recognize and celebrate the sacrifices people are making in their lives. So what are the blessings of God in your life? Because the more you begin to realize it, the more strength you'll have for the journey. And then he says, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. I've only thought about it this week, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but how many people had ever seen God before and lived? No one, right? It's that we are unable to see God and live, for we could not behold his majesty or his glory. And yet here God takes the initiative and God comes and he makes his face to shine upon us. That is, he reveals something about himself, about his character, about his nature, about his desire, not only for Israel, but for you and for me as well. And he offers us his grace. To a nation that was getting ready to go on the journey, he says, here is my favor. Here is my kindness. Here is something about myself that you need to know. That I'm going to give to you, although you may not accept it, you may not want it, you may not even respond. Why? Because that's who he is. I think, like a parent, I don't feed and clothe and give my kids things because I have to. But I give it to them because I want to. Because I desire the best for them. And that's what God does for his people. Ultimately, is seen in the story of grace. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, writes this: in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us with all wisdom and an understanding. But he also does that, doesn't he, in all the tangible ways of being blessed. What are the ways that you have experienced grace in this past week? And how can you live in grace? I believe it has in mind the idea of forgiveness. It has in mind the idea of extending our hand to somebody else, to offering comfort and strength and relief to those who are in need. As you and I experience the favor or the kindness here revealed in the word grace, it should really revolutionize the way we live, shouldn't it? And there he is again. He's going to show his face again. May the Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. This morning, I hope that you will get the idea of God drawing near to you, of God caring for you, of God saying to you this morning that you are mine, that you are holy, that you are righteous, that I desire a relationship with you. And you know what? I realize there's going to be enemies. There's going to be hunger. There's going to be dissension. I realize there's a generation that's not getting to the promised land. But I'll get you there. And I'll give you everything you need to make your way and to live in the promised land. That word peace is actually the word shalom. It means this: to seek peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, and welfare. Moving into the New Testament, it has the idea of complete and utter rest and dependence on God. Matthew says it this way: "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It really is, isn't it, about trusting that God will do what he says in his word he is going to do. And in the midst of the struggle and the hardship of what you and I are going through, it is to know that God will get us there. I think there's a story that I shared with you last week about my dad. Those of you who weren't here last week, my dad has a cancer again. He's going to start treatment. So I asked my dad, and I said, "Dad, what if you don't get better?" And he said, "What's the worst thing that could happen to me?" He goes, "I know that God will see me through whatever that looks like, but I believe he's going to heal me." I think of the peace that I heard about this week or yesterday as at a meeting. And somebody was sharing about all the things that's happening in our world today, from the acts of terrorism to the fear of 25,000 immigrants being dropped into our country, to a leader who doesn't always stand for everything that we believe as a church, to realize that God is still sovereign, God is still in control, that God will do what he says in his word. His good word for you and to me this morning is that he, the one who created the heaven and the earth, the one who upholds it by the palm of his hands, the one who's going to take us home, he's got it all taken care of. He simply says, "Will you trust me as you go through the journey of life to believe that I've got you and that I'll see you all the way through?" I can't help but think of what it was like for Israel, because that journey was going to be tough. For some of us, our journeys are tough. But God's word, his good word, his benediction to you and to me, is to hear the words that before you even began the journey that you are on in life, he was already there. And he's already going before you. He's going behind you, beside you, beneath you, and with you. And his prayer for you is this: that may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face and may he give you his peace as he leads you home. Amen. And as we go to prayer, I just want to say, you know what? I know that's not easy. And just because we trust and we have that assurance and that good word from God, doesn't mean that there's not difficult times, that there's not moments that are filled with tears and questions and doubt. But it means that as we live our life, that in the midst of all of that, we're able to simply trust and walk with God. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for your good word. We thank you for your benediction to us. The reminder that you have not only secured our eternity, but that you have put us in a place of covenant within the community of faith. Or for maybe the last 50 or 60 years, or maybe this morning it's the first time we're hearing it, we may hear the story of God. And as we hear that word, Lord, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and most of the sermons we don't even remember, may that good word ring true in our lives, in our story. So that when those moments come where we need that good word, that your story would pick up and would carry us through. Lord, we want to pray for our new government. Lord, we pray for the newly elected MPs. Lord, we pray for our Prime Minister-elect Justin Trudeau. And Lord, we just pray that they would be filled with much wisdom and much diligence. We just pray, oh Lord, that you would bring your church to walk alongside of our government, to stand for things of compassion and justice and truth. That as your church, we would pray for our leaders, or that they too would be able to do a tough task, and that they would do so with great wisdom and diligence. Or we pray for moments like the Syrian refugee crisis, that we would not be filled with fear, but that your church may move into action. As there are numerous stories, Lord, of the church reaching out and people coming to faith from Islam. And may your church use as an opportunity to be a representation of Jesus. As we think of our own community of faith, oh God, we just pray that your hand would continue to be upon Gail. Lord, it's been a long time. Lord, 6 weeks. And Lord, there doesn't seem to be any clear indication of great improvement. Lord, she needs a good word from you. Lord, even though she's not responding, Lord, that in her spirit, Lord, she may be reminded that you are with her. And Lord, if it is in your plan, and we pray that it is, that you would awaken her. And Lord, that her body and her lungs and her kidneys would do what they're supposed to do. And that, Lord, as the desire is it of her heart, that she may be able to walk out of there and dance again. Lord, we would be so bold to pray that in this discouraging state that she's in, that that may happen. Lord, we pray for Dan and Trix. Lord, we pray that as Dan's physiotherapy continues, Lord, we just pray that you would give him the patience to allow his body to do what it's supposed to do. But Lord, we just pray too that there would be more and more healing, that there would be more and more movement and healing, that Dan too would be able to step out of his chair and be able to walk again. And Lord, we just pray that you would refresh him and Trixie on this journey. Lord, when the days are hard, the days are long, that they would see your hand and your provision, and that your good word would refresh them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray too that you would be with Monique Hogeveen, Lord, as she goes for surgery this Thursday. We just pray that you would allow that surgery to be successful, Lord, that her body would be able to recuperate quickly, and that, Lord, there would be relief from pain, and that there, too, you would ultimately and totally and completely heal her body. Lord, thank you for your good word to us this morning. Thank you for the reminder that you are always with us. Thank you that you keep us and you hold us. Thank you for your grace and for your peace. And may the story of your good word encapsulate all that we are. In your name we pray. Amen.